Before I start, I just want to have another short prayer. Our gracious Father, it's your time now. Please proclaim your words through us, through me. Clean my lips, my thoughts, so that we all come to your glory eventually. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The song we choir, they played was what? The theme is, it's a Christ's second coming, right? We all know about that. And I'm so proud and so blessed to be called as Adventist. Because as I earlier mentioned, that when they talk about Jubilee and trying to transforming the world, the only way actually this world can be transformed is what? By Christ's coming to establish new heaven and new earth. Because there's nothing that we can hope for what human can do, especially those leaders. And so I think it's not just a local American problem, but it's what? It's a global problem. So it has to be globally taken care of. Only the one who created this earth. So today my topic is my third health talk or messages. Today the title is Put Into My Heart. So we briefly mentioned about last what we discussed, because some of here knew. And we are talking about human body, especially when we study of the DNA, the genetic material, and underlying issue is how the gene is expressed. Gene is expressed by the choice, by our opinion, our ideas. And that's where we'll talk about the main core of epigenetics. Epigenetic means we are not living in not the genetic period of time in the past where they said if you're born with a certain genes from your parents, you're stuck with that. So you have no way to change it. But epigenetic, not by, you know, biblical scholar proclaim, it's a secular scientist found it out that our choice is so important to make a better destiny of our life, which is exactly how the Bible is talking about the choice that we make. The choice we make whether we are living for what God commanded us. In other words, originally from the beginning, God says, you eat. In other words, you freely eat. That freely, you know, when we talk about, you know, two trees in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2, that when God says, you freely eat, that freely is, of course, is free. However, that means the same words, eat, emphasizing Hebrew words. So you eat. Why? Because it doesn't say you live, because God already gave them life. So you just eat. Maintain what I have always blessed to you. But, says, do not eat the other one because it will surely die. In other words, surely means also the same words as die. It's die. So the choice we have to make in this life is, shall I choose life or shall I choose death? That's the basically, we have no other choice. All other choice we human perform doing every day is basically whether it tells whether you are in the pathway to the life or pathway to the death. That's basically what it is. So actually, you know, we have a freedom of choice, of course, but the freedom of choice is only limited to either you maintain the pathway of Jesus Christ that he gave us to life and love, or you choose what? You choose the other dark force where you end up with a death or total destruction. You're no longer existing. So this is where we are talking about. So in that sense, we gave some illustration that when you have a farm pig, when they somehow some of them slip away from the pens, and then the scientists tested those two different animals. The one that was on the left is wild on your laps, yeah. Your wild pig that left the comfortable zone of their home environment, the farm, but they develop this skin, fur within a month or a couple months. They change it. And then they change the color. And then how long it takes for their tusk build up? The next generation. So it is not a millions and millions years of time where something happening in our gene. It can express right away in a way. And so, and then we talk about this animal, right? This elephant, and this animal was Mozambique in National Park Korongosa, where the tusk, the ivy, tusk was obviously, you know, seen this female elephants, but they found that those tusk was gone during the later part of the 19th centuries, about 30 years. And then something, they were so interested, and they found out it's because of not sudden things happen naturally, but because people come to kill those elephants and took their ivory out and sell it. Because of during the civil war, they needed money to buy the weapons. So all these elephants realized that, especially the female, that they don't need tusk if it's actually health hazard. So their gene, somehow, within the same generation, tusk is never coming out. So in other words, it's such a rapid transition and transformations. And so because these elephants, they have their limited intelligence, but they know that what is their choice. And then somehow their choice, their opinion, their willpower, their ideas, thoughts, all this, abstract concept actually come into the thought in their where? In their brain. And it permeates to their cells. So cell in the gene, they don't produce this ivory tusk, which is very precious, as I shared last time. And also we talk about this identical twin. When you have a same gene material, especially the same gender, they grow up in the same environment, same cloth, same food, but as they grow up, they have a totally different personality. As you see here in the face there, one is very gloomy, and this is a public picture, so I didn't, erase their face, but I don't know who that person is, but, we are praying for these individuals. But anyway, so these people, they, especially the one on the left side, compared to the right side, has not much of facial expression. Do you know how many muscles in our face that actually move around to express our facial opinion or things? There are about 45 muscles, but they say that you can have almost like a 10,000 different expressions. The next animal close to human is monkeys. They have about half of the facial muscle that we have, but they can only express about 4 or 5 different expressions. That's it. But when we look at, we look at people, always the face, but some are very gloomy and some are very bright. Of course, it happens certain time of the day or but some people, consistently, they are depressed. We can sense that. Why? Because somehow the happy hormone that they produce is shut down at the level of gene, because something happened in their brain and they permeate into their body. I mentioned about the happy hormone. It's a DOES. DOS, happy DOS hormone. Easy way to remember. DOES. D is what? Dopamine. O is what? Oxytocin. And E is what? Endorphin. And S is what? Serotonin. So this is kind of some example of the happy hormone God produced and God allowed us to produce in our body. And if you have a lack of those DAS hormone, your face is what? Yeah. Much of expressions. And so think about, do you really feel the joyfulness that you experience in the Lord? Then you cannot just, no, you have to be vibrant. As we Christian, when you come into the church, we just have a, you know, happy, joyful moment. So when you cross each other, it's just like you saw them in a market. No, we have to grab their hands and show your face bright and vibrant. So we talk about Human Genome Project, and they found 30,000 genes in our body, and that it actually has a four alphabet, right? I said those four alphabet is I will show you here. But because of that, we can have a 3 billion base pair. That means 3 billion messages it can present. Such a marvelous, you know, body that God created. And so here we talk about those four pairs is G, S, A, T. You know, guanine, cytosine, adenine, and thymine. And I said that we Adventists can easily to remember. Why? Because at GC. Remember? And so usually guanine and cytosine, GC, they pair together. And adenosine and thymine, they are paired together. So at GC. So at least you can remember that. Now, so we are talking about this, this slide is very important. We are now living in an epigenetic time. And he says, why your DNA is not your destiny? And then he says why? The new science of epigenetics reveals that, what next words? Choices we make what? Change. Choices we make can change your gene and those of your kids. So in other words, if we have a right choice, that right choice will make our gene to be changed. Not only for myself, but even the unborn, my kids. And there are a lot of examples like that. And then at least we want to look into some of this as time goes. So last time we talked about basically human body is not just lumps of the flesh, all this flesh. No, actually our body is what? Is collection of these alphabets. Alphabet is a language. If it's a language, it's an alphabet, it produces a letter. And if you talk about letter, it has a meaning behind it. So God put our body filled with God's messages. That's exactly what the Bible says. We are what? We are letter of Jesus Christ. We are ambassador of Jesus Christ. We are the fragrant? Yes. It's a really good smell perfume. Good smelling perfume. That's what it means. So we cannot avoid our influence around us. Now, so our topic today is how our choice can be made in the right way. As we had the children's story, basically we have these choices. Either we go toward life or toward death. There's no other way. And so, as we had the scripture reading, this is John chapter 13, the final days of Jesus Christ. He said, because his time is up, he said he loved more his people. So it is God or Son of God who expressed his love toward us because he has given us the life and he wants to have that eternal life. But what he says here, he loved them to the end, and then supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judah Iscariot to betray him. So remember, our heart is influenced by two different ideas. One is love and life. The other one is what? Death and killing. Because the 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 16 and 17 says, thanks to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. Paul is talking about Titus. And Paul was sure that it is God who put into the heart of the Titus the earnest care. So what a totally difference between two different verses. One is devil put the into the heart of the Judah to kill, to betray, to kill Jesus Christ. This is toward end of pathway of the death. But here, Titus, God put the earnest care, the same earnest care, the same means Paul, he had his care toward other people. Same care into the heart of the Titus. And then he says, for he not only accepted exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. In other words, when Titus went to you, the Corinthian people, it was not any coercion. It was his joy, his volunteering spirit, because he already received God's message in his heart. So you cannot change that. So it was not just accepting it, but he actually put it into action. That's what it means. So we have these two different contrast, but both are same words put into the heart of Judas or put into the heart of Titus. This is the choice we have to make, all of you and me here, whether we have to, what we have to accept, is it from God of the life of love, or from devil to kill and betray the truth. So this is where there is a conflict going on here. So Galatians, you probably know this, walk in the spirit and do not, and then you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and spirit against the flesh, and those are contrary to each other, so that you do not do anything that you wish. And if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now here, one thing is, there is a conflict, the opposition, one against each other. One is a flesh, one is spirit. And so probably we all experience that there is a strong desire of either flesh or strong desire of the spirit, then there's always opposite force that are fighting that against. So we are what? We are in the middle of what? Middle of controversy, middle of the war. This is a great controversy in a way, right? And so how you can be successful? Right in this verse, we can find one is what? You have to led by the Spirit. And what? And you walk in the Spirit. So without those two, in others, something God has to do through the Holy Spirit, and you have to receive that, and then you realize that is the right way, and you choose and do put in an action. So you walk in the Spirit because you are led by the Spirit. Then you can actually win the battle. Of course, it's not easy. Sometimes we fell down. That's why there is Jesus, who is a comforter, who always raises you up. Therefore, the righteous, even though they fail 7 times, they're able to stand up. Now, when I study some statistics, 2024, because of the war globally, how much money people spent? Statistics, I don't know if we can believe that or not, but 2023 was $2.44 trillion. $2.44 trillion. If you give that money to everybody, it's going to be a totally different situation. You know what? However, America is the most spender of that. Almost 40% of all this money America spent. Even though there's no war within, oh, of course we have war within our territory of America, but they're not really killing each other. Well, maybe they're killing, you know, in their minds. But this is our world. But remember, all this physical war is not the one Bible is really pointing out. Of course it's pointing out, but more important thing is our own daily fight, daily struggle. So sometimes, like in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, oh, what a wretched man I am. Because he said, exactly the words here, middle of the sentence. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. In other words, when you are living in a flesh, you don't want to do that. But there's a lot of force, so you do not want, but you still to do that. At the same time, when you are in the Holy Spirit, you are in a spirit. There are things you do, things that you do not do the things that you wish, because you like the lifestyle in the flesh. So this is a fight. But you know, the stronger you are in the flesh, the weaker the power of the Holy Spirit. And the more you keep doing that, in other words, there are some words of practice. I'll show that later. But if you keep practicing it, then eventually the wooing of the Holy Spirit will be going down and diminished. But at the same time, if you're strong in the Spirit every day, then eventually the temptation you had before is no longer a temptation. That's how we can be overcome, because we are led by the Holy Spirit. So it is not, as we are told during the children's story, it is my own power that I fight with this flesh. No, it's the Holy Spirit has to come. Without Holy Spirit, you are totally at the pleasure and mercy of the flesh. But when you Holy Spirit comes in, that's where fight starts. Therefore, it is a Christianity life that is more troublesome than before you become Christian. And so, well, if I become Christian, I have more temptation, more struggle. It's because you didn't aware that before you become a Christian. Because now you have another spirit, Holy Spirit, come into you, and then there is a fight going on. And that's what it's talking about. So we talked about this this Galatian works of the flesh. How many of those work of flesh? Somebody can count. Don't worry, it's 17 of them. And then what? And the last, and the like. So there are so many, okay? So many. So many. Well, I was looking at their drunkenness. This when I read the news, typically American, starting with the Thanksgiving, I don't know, Thanksgiving we drink a lot. People, not we. Thanksgiving, and then what? Christmas and New Year, their consumption of alcohol is doubling up. So I don't know. We have to change all this, this Thanksgiving and the what? Christmas, different words. It's not true Thanksgiving. It's not true Christmas in a way. But anyway, yes.
Probably
But as we said, the fruit of the Spirit, there are nine of them. Yeah. But remember, it is not fruits, not plural. Why? There is a is. So in other words, works of the flesh is all different entity, okay? If you do, some people are more in tune with some issues than others. But here in the spirit sense, the fruit of the spirit is singular because it has one diamond and had many different facets. That's nine of them. And so they're all interconnected in a way. Of course, works of the flesh also is interconnected because they're all underlying problem, which is a death, which is a non-life. And so they're all connected together, I guess. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 says, if you're still, for you are still carnal. In other words, Paul is talking about the Christian in Corinthian church. Even if you believe in the gospel and you come to church and become a Christian life for many years, you're still in carnal. That's what we're talking about. So because there are envy and strife and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like a mere man? So I don't know. We as a member of the church, besides church, how long we have known Jesus Christ in our life? This is a past. I hope that 2025, we truly get out of this statement. We are now become more spirit-filled Christian. That's what we have to do. Now, this is Luke chapter 8, verse 26 and 30. There is a man whose name is not there, but very interesting, says, who had demons for a long time. So it is very interesting, if you read that whole story, this man, singular man, and he saw Jesus and he come and he prostrate and worshiping him, but in his mouth, sometimes his own words coming out, sometimes what? The devil, not one single, devil's word is coming out of his mouth. So what it means is, whoever is filling your brain, you have to say the words of that spirit that is filling your brain. And so interesting, it's very, I don't know whether we should study more about that, but, you know, because of he has a demonic influence so long time, he didn't have any clothes. He lived in a case between the tombs. Basically, he lived in the death. He lived for the death. And so he had a chain in his, he crying out and is a threat to the people. Not peaceful. All this destructive is symbolized in his life. But because of the power of Jesus Christ, he was coming out of that. If he is like that, long time he was demon worshiping, we as a Christian, we still have some issue where we're still struggling. God can take care of that as long as we honestly come to him. That's the way there is a promise. Now, when I study this scripture, I cannot ignore. Because even though some churches, they have a strife and envy and all this, not a perfect situation, but what does Paul say here? He say, whatever happened, if that church proclaimed Jesus Christ, because of that, I will rejoice again. Yes, I will rejoice again. If Christ is preached, Christ is uplifted, of course we have some problem within the church, but God can solve that. But if you don't preach, in other words, if we lose the mission of the church, then nothing will work. So, like I know our elder nun, and we talked about this throughout the church. That even though we have some problem before, still we keep pushing the evangelism, witnessing, proclamation of Jesus Christ. Because of that, we have to rejoice and again rejoice. That is a gospel mission. Not because I'm perfect, no, because I'm weak. I have still some issue that with my fellow brother, sister, whatever. And you have the same thing? No. Our primary goal is uplifting Jesus. And he will take care of each individual. And he will take care of those who are coming in. That's the philosophy. That's the mission of the true mission of the church, I believe. Now, let's shift a little bit. So far, we're talking about God and the devil put different thoughts in our brain. And because of that, we have a different influence in our brain cell, and it permeates to all our body. Briefly, I will later talk about our brain wave, how brain wave influencing all our body. But a lot of time we think God is not really actively involved in the all the lives going on in this world, including animals, including minute organisms. It is very, I was brought in non-Christian background when I was a child, so it is something I still have to struggle and try to understand, because is God is working in our minds, in our body, all detail? Or it is a God who created marvelous things like a delicate clock, watch, and he just left vacation long time. Never care about that. So it's automatically just working. And this is something you have to wrestle, because when we see like, animal kingdom, they are fighting, killing. Where's God there? When human beings are fighting and there's tragedies and somebody innocently injured, where is God? If God is actively involved in minute operations, why are things happening? This is a lot of people's question. It's a reasonable question, but we have to resolve that. But Bible is not talking about God is aloof from human affairs. Now, Psalm 50, verse 10 and 11. He says, I know what? All the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are what? Are mine. This is the record after sin, right? So if the birds is devoured by another bigger birds, we say, where's the sympathy there? But Bible says what? God says, I know each and every bird. I know each and every wild beast. Some are in the food chain. You know, this look like innocent antelope or a smaller animal. They are just ferociously attacked. And so I don't like to watch those. But anyway, it's reality. And people enjoy that. They spend a lot of money to go to safari in, Africa. And then they got hurt themselves too, sometimes. But anyway, we have to resolve this issue as time goes. Now I'm more involved in the idea that God is taking up every bit of my heart. If that is the case, he knows everything here that we don't know. Do you know what's going on in your body? I don't know. If I eat certain food, how it just digested and it absorbed and it goes to different part of our body where it gives the nutritions. This human life and this life in this world is something we have to study millions and million years to know at least some portion of God's wisdom. But that's what Bible says. I believe this Bible, this word. It's not a, not error. The way I look. Now, here Jeremiah said, you worry about what's going on in this world? all this tragedy or joyful things, when some animal just got killed, and then there is a sadness, but here they have a joy because, we have now food here. So all this family of this animal come and enjoy things like that, even though I don't like their blood in their face. But anyway, God says, there's nothing too hard for me. Amen. Now, in the book of New Testament, it's the same idea. God said, Jesus said, not one of the sparrow is forgotten before God. Amen. And then, what the next one? The very hair of your head are all what? Numbered. As we are growing up, I think we are helping God to count less. But remember, when we have an adult, we have about 100,000 or 150,000 hairs normally, and then we lose about up to 100 hairs. So whenever you take shower and then you wash and, here's a chunk of hair I can see, don't worry about it. That is a normal process. Not a normal, actually, God didn't want to lose anything, but because of sin, we are aging in a way. But God says, we are more value than this sparrow. And then I like this word. Not one of them falls to the ground apart from your what? Father's will. Do you really believe that, or it's just symbolic words? See, God knows, even before sin entered, that after sin entered, what's going to have this ecosystem of this world? So he already prepared that. And he's the God who was very silent when Jesus was dying. The worst suffering for humanity. And we know through the deserved ages, Jesus, God was there, he was tearing, but he knew that, but he never intervened that because it was God's will to go through that. If we understand the cross and suffering of Jesus Christ, a lot of human mystery of suffering and illness and all these tragedies, congenital deformities, all these things, we probably understand that the fact that because God is science in each case doesn't mean that he don't care. Because there is a will of God that allow things happening. Even though his will wasn't planned to cause Adam to sin. It was our own choice that we made. So there are still in this sin-filled earth, there are several interesting scientific evidence that there's still God care for them. One of them is this story. Have you heard the blue-head wrasse? This fishes, it lives in Atlantic and Gulf of Mexico, that area. And this wrasse means it's very prominent color. That's what it means. So look at this blue head, right? This one happened to be male. But if you look at that fishes roaming around behind that blue one, there's male big fish and a small female fish. Scientists find out in the mid ocean when this male happened to die suddenly. What happened? Whole group. Usually they have a male carries, take care of about 20 females, 1 to 20 ratio. If the male suddenly die, then what happened? One of a female changed the sex and become a male. I mean, this is mind-boggling. I hope the, all these genders, they have to become fish. I don't know. But that's impossible, okay? However, see this. Do you think small fish, yellow fish, they think, oh, I'll be next candidate if my husband dies? No, they have no ideas. It is some supernatural power that actually command in their brain, and brain got the message and then spread the message to the cell, and it changes. And apparently, this is not the only species. There are many species in the kingdom of these fishes. They change like that. So I think God is actively involved in even all these animals, birds. He knows them, just like he knows us. But he says, we are more valuable than those birds. That means he knows our own DNA, our own problem. And sometimes he's silent, sometimes he's active. But that is according to his will. Wow. Now, this is another fish. Another turtle. Yeah. And this animal, interestingly, it lives in Okinawa. Okay? But when the mother ready to have hatch, he doesn't go to the North to Korea. She doesn't go to the North to Korea. She doesn't go to the, you know, Taipei, the Taiwan, but she goes down to South and East, all the way to Guam, about 1,400 miles. And he actually hatches there. And then the mother just go back to Okinawa. Wow. And then this eggs, about 50 days later, they just coming out of the shell. And what they do? They just go back to there, to Okinawa. Wow. And so scientists say, well, of course, if you think about evolutionary process, they gotta say something. But how hatched the turtles, they know what's going on. Do they know the directions? I mean, look at here. Even if you have a boat, you don't know which direction you go. But they're going there. Oh, and then therefore scientists say, oh yeah, they have a GPS in their magnetic some source in their brain. Well, that doesn't help, because when I first had a car that had GPS, I couldn't drive where I want to go because I don't know how to operate that. You know, GPS has to, it is what? It is a program where it's not locally affected, it goes to what? Satellite. And satellite is waiting, give a direction, but if I don't give a message, I want to go a certain place, I have to type it. Otherwise, GPS, whether you have it or not, it has nothing to do with your destinations you go. So how in the world a baby turtle can go to the place where their mother is or where they want to grow? I mean, these are the ones that it is God who has to direct. And sometimes I think maybe God is too busy with all the other affairs. I mean, look at how the, politically, you know, if the president is busy, he doesn't care a lot of little things. I mean, I understand that. But we're talking about God who is different from human. But Bible says angels are what? His ministering spirit, right? So maybe God dedicated a lot of his angels to different things. Who knows? We can find out when we get to heaven. But anyway, the point is this. God knows not only you, me, on all this ecosystem, he knows what's going on, what is the best. He doesn't want a certain tribe of these fishes when the head was gone. Maybe sometimes he just let them go for the sake of longer view of the ecosystem. Who knows? But sometimes he changed some female fish to male fish. Now, what is this giraffe? What is he doing here? He's eating the plant there next to some dead animals, the spinal cord. No, actually he is eating the bone. Look at that. He's eating the bones. How we can figure that out? Of course we can figure it out. We have those giraffe and shoot with the anesthetic things and fell asleep and get the blood test. Lo and behold, the calcium level is low. How in the world they knew that there was a calcium? Of course, there's calcium in the plant food, but it's not enough. And they don't do that all the time. Because giraffe, the worst position he hate, I mean, the worst position he hate is going down to touch, because he has to what? He has to, like, it's very uncomfortable. So they don't do that very often. But when there's an emergency that they realize, they go to looking for some bone. How do they know there's a you know, more calcium in the bone? It's only God gave them the thoughts. And the thoughts come to their brain. You see, when we look at that kind of picture, wow, God is so marvelous. He's the one who healed us. He wanted to leave us. He wanted to make us to live. Live, live. Don't die, die. That's basically where, you know, God says, there is a death and life in front of you. You choose one. There is blessing and curse. You choose it. In Deuteronomy chapter 28. There is a repeating theme from the Genesis. It says, you freely eat this one. You know, you don't cause anything. Just eat, eat. But don't eat the other one. It's a die, die. That's the message that Jesus came with here. If you believe the one who sent me and believe the one I'm the one to talk to you, then you already what? Passed from death to life. So Bible message is not like a morality and all other things. No. It messages, please live, continue to live the life I gave you. Of course, Adam failed, but I'll give you eternal life. Please keep that. That's God's appeal. That's God. That's how it's a suffering of God really meant for us. Now, what is this? It looks like a circle, many circles, but this is actually cancer. Which one is cancer? Cancer, smaller one, bigger one? Bigger one is cancer. How come there's all kinds of this spike coming out? These are all blood cells. You know, when cancer cells occur, what they need is they have to steal all the blood surrounding them. You know, the origin and the destiny of the cancer is actually same as a sin nature. I will explain that later time. But anyway, when cancer occurred in our body, what happened? All this is a small one. There is a white blood cell, especially the lymph, especially the immune system where they call it's a T lymphocyte. They are the one who come to that place. I mean, think about this. Normally, lymphocytes usually go through the bloodstream. But whenever they hear the message, there is a cancer cell, they actually come out of the blood vessel. Without any leakage of blood, any drops. It's amazing, amazing. Think about this. If the T lymphocyte coming in and out, every day, many, many times, I guess, we'll kind of internal bleeding and we die. If there's no specific message, specific mechanism where it never leaked any blood. But anyway, they come and then they check. I'll explain next time some it's very interesting current science they call tumor immunology, where they actually studied this. What is the interaction between T lymphocyte and the cancer cell. And there's a very delicate relationship. And sometimes the cancer cell, they actually control this T lymphocyte, but a lot of time, initial stage, they actually want to be died. That's how they founded our scientific. But anyway, so what happened is this circular, you know, lymphocyte, they change their configuration, morphological changes, and they produce cancer-killing substance. And that's how they take care of that. So let me ask you, I mean, this is some kind of special occasion they put the lights in. Our inside, do we have any lights? No, everything's blind. And how they can go to the exact spots where the cancer is? I mean, is it just automatic or just naturally? There's no automatic, there's no natural. It all has go to the message that God is putting in our body. In other words, if the birds cannot fall down to the ground without His will, and we are more valuable than the birds, and He knows what's going in our body a lot better than we know our own body. So God is vigilant. God is caring for our body. And so therefore, when we talk about new start, the last one is what? Trust. T, trust in God. If you get rid of that, all the first seven of them, it's just like nothing but the idol worship I said before. Nutrition without God is what? It's just God's creation. And we worship nutrition better than the God who created the nutrition. Exercise, important exercise. Of course important. But if we don't have a God, what is this? Yeah. Now, there are white blood cells, there are many kinds. This is actually those circular one, or those are red blood cell, and the one big one in the middle, that's I think one of the white blood cell neutrophil, I think. But their black one right before that, small one, those are the germ, okay? Those are staph germ. And how, just let me see, how see, they all make a way for this big giant coming into those red blood cells coming. They are making ways. And then finally they are now devouring. Because we are only two-dimensional, three-dimensional, it just come into and swallow it. And so how these white blood cells, they recognize that. And how do they find it going different? And how this blood I mean, red blood cell, they kind of give away, you just move on. These are all communications. It's a mystery, right? Therefore, our body, Bible says what? Is wonderfully and fearfully made. Wonderfully, what it means is wonder is filled up and then overflowing. And fearfully, God's awesomeness is like overflowing. That's why wonderfully and fearfully made our body. Now, so it is very important for our mindset. Whether I choose life or whether I choose death, we have to choose, and our choice is due to our mindset. If we have a wrong mindset, it's very difficult, because then you see truth as a distorted one. So one of the examples is this one. What is that? There's apple, and there's a mirror that shows it's a fool. No, apple is what? It's a eaten and it's very, you know, slim. But no, it's a, if you look at that mirror, it's a big one. So which one do you believe? Look at that. It's a, we know the anorexia nervosa. Okay, this is serious disease. A lot of people grown up with that, but still, you know, every 50 minutes one person die because of the suicide. So this is something we really care for them, but they have a somehow distorted idea about their configuration. They are very reasonable in most of other life affairs. They make a good decision and right, but one thing that they don't agree with the rest of people around them is, no, I'm still too much weight. And then maybe people say, why don't you step on this the weight, what do you call it?
Weight scale.
Or it's because the weight scale is out of order. That's the way they believe. So what happened is, in our body, there's what we call leptin and ghrelin. These are two hormones that regulates our appetites. This ghrelin is what we call hunger hormones. So if you're really hungry, this hormone activates, turn on, and this hormone goes to our brain, goes to all our body, and just crying for the food. But the leptin is opposite. If you eat, and then you satisfy, and that satisfaction goes to your brain too, and says, don't eat. And this is our struggle, especially during holidays. We have only one to go, New Year's. But anyway, see, when this anorexia nervosa, these people, they have some messed up with this hormone. Why? Because their brain think, they believe that my body needs to reduce the weight. Even they already reduced. And so this is where the problem is. So what I'm saying is, the way we think affects our body. As we talked about, this gene, whatever choice we make will affect the gene, how it reacts. And how we think, it's coming from above humanity. It's a supernatural that God or the other spiritual enemy, which one we are directing. So that's why we have to stick with the Bible every day. Now these are, I need to spend extra time later, but these are our brainwave, okay? Our brainwave. Typically, the alpha wave in the middle is what it says, reflective and restful, relax. There's no stress much. So if you block that alpha wave, actually you have more stress, more uneasiness. But most of the people, we live with a beta wave, and then gamma wave. See, beta and gamma, it looks like what? What does that mean? It's very agitated, very annoyed, and very attackful. There's no relaxations. And this is where, if you live your lifestyle with a lot of influence of beta and gamma, your personality changes. So how do you change it? You have the more reflective as an alpha wave. Reflective of God's love and God's care for you. And then change your body to the level where, not from the flesh and its work, but what? Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's where we have to change. But can I change it? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Bible says, God upholds all things by the word of his power. So all these things going on in this world, God knows everything in detail. And God put in our hearts, what? His law. So what we put in our heart, in our minds, are so important. And here says, God has sent forth Spirit of His Son into our heart. So what do we put into my minds? It's a Spirit of Jesus Christ. And it's Holy Spirit, another comforter. And 2 Thessalonians says, now may the Lord direct your hearts. Where? Direct your hearts into the love of God. And into the patience of Christ. That's a new King James Version. But in regular King James, interesting statement there. The Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and into what? The patient waiting of for the Christ. Patient waiting is what? Christ's second coming. That's why finally God's remnant people, they will have what? Patience of Jesus Christ, right? So, please remember this word, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is who? It is God who works in us, in you, both what? Both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, we are sort of, even though we are Christians, a lot of time we go through the emotions and some issues. So we don't have any will to do something. And it says, but remember, it is God who can work in us and to will. In other words, even God can, if we let him to do, he can give me another will to do things. So not only to will, but also to do things for his good pleasure. So therefore, there's nothing that I can boast. There's nothing you can boast. You as a Christians, it is God who works in you. So the issue is how much we are putting God in our life. That is our work. That is our work. But all the rest of things is ultimately it is God who will and he's the one who to do things. Except one thing. He hasn't put something not yet in our heart. What is that? I found in the Bible very interesting. Here it says, yes, as it is written, our eye never seen, and our ear never heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. Still hasn't come into our heart. What is that? What God is preparing for us who loves him. So except that, God gave all his resources, himself, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, come dwell in us. It's so interesting that, you know, triune God actually not only up there, of course, Holy Spirit here on this earth, but three personhood promised, three beings promised to come within me. Therefore, there's no way we can deny that the new heaven and new earth, where the throne of God is residing, is not just throne of God or not throne of Jesus or Holy Spirit. It's all triune together, if you read the Revelation chapter 22. Well, with this time, we studied about how we take care of our minds, our hearts. Actually, the the words, the heart there, in I think I read here, in the New Testament, there are about 170 times the word heart, 159 times the word heart is cardia. So cardia means, in English word is cardia, right, heart. But in the biblical sense, it's not just the physical heart, it's the center of all physical and spiritual life. And it says here, I'm reading the Concordance dictionary. The cardia means the center and the seat of the thoughts and passion, desire, appetites, affection, purpose, endeavor. So everything is there. So how are we gonna mold our hearts in a better way? It's only accept what God puts, He is willing to put in our hearts. So that is, I think, what we have to meditate upon and pray about it. And so I hope that we all become a higher level of Christian when the next Sabbath, which is another new year. May God bless all of you. Thank you very much. So our last hymn is 202, Into My Heart.